Knowing that we had a very rich and full service today, which I've been out here enjoying every moment of, I cut my made my sermon a little shorter than usual. I'll just tell you that on the front end so you'll know if you're looking for watching or something like that. Which I certainly don't mind doing once in a while, and you probably don't mind it that way either. For want of a better term, I just call them thank you moments. They come when a certain chain of events happen that cause an unexpected sense of gratitude to come over you. You can plan for the event itself, maybe, but you can't plan for the feeling it evokes. So here's a thank you moment of mine from a couple of years ago in the fall of 2002. Our son Gordon was home for the weekend. He's here this morning. I hope I don't embarrass him too terribly much with all this story here. But he was home from the weekend, the early days of his freshman year in college, and in the course of one of those "so how are things going in school" conversations, he casually let it be known that he and some of his friends had gotten tickets to a Bob Dylan concert at the Fleet Center that was coming up in about a month. My response was, "Well, don't think your parents might like to go to that too?" "Oh yeah, well sure." Fingers hit the keyboard, there's a request for a credit card, and within a few minutes he told us we had seats. Which is how about a month later, Michelle and I came to be taking in a Dylan concert at the Fleet Center in Boston. Now, our tickets have been ordered separately, so Gordon and his friends are sitting in some other part of the auditorium there, but we could see where they were. And although I've been following Dylan's music and his career since I've been in college, this was actually the first time, and so far only time, that I had ever seen him in person. So the concert went forth, and he sang some of his old stuff and some of his new stuff, and I don't think the sound was as good as it could have been in there, and the Fleet Center actually lacks the kind of intimacy that you need for some of Dylan's songs to really heard and appreciated. You know, he's like, "I'll Be Your Baby Tonight." It doesn't quite do it in a setting like that. But it was good to be there, and he did about 2 hours worth and ended his set, and then came back for the encore finale, which was, of course, Blowing in the Wind. Okay, I tell myself, there's one more item I can check off my to-do list for life. I have now heard Bob Dylan sing Blowing in the Wind. Fine. But as good as all that wasn't what the thank you moment was about. Sitting there in the dark and listening to the encore, listening to words I had sung hundreds of times myself, and finally seeing and hearing the guy who actually wrote them, I had this realization that the first time I had ever heard the name Bob Dylan spoken had been some 40 years earlier, when I was the very same age as my son who was sitting somewhere else in that dark auditorium. In my case, I was a freshman in college, fall of 63, and I was at a Peter, Paul, and Mary concert when they were in their very early days. And when Peter Yarrow went to introduce their singing of Blowing the Wind, he said something like, "This song has been written by one of the most talented and exciting young songwriters in America today, Bob Dylan." And about half the people in that big room applauded. The other half, which included me, sat there thinking, "So who's Bob Dylan that everybody's clapping about here?" But then I was 18 years old. I had just made my way out of this small West Virginia town into a somewhat larger West Virginia town that happened to have a college in it. But at that time, I didn't know Bob Dylan from Bob Smith or John Doe. But that was then. So back at the Fleet Center, it was just one of those moments when everything seems right and good. And the life actually works the way it's supposed to, or the way you want it to work, or think it's supposed to, anyway. I know having a child reach 18 doesn't mean you're completely out of the child-rearing woods, but I still had this feeling like, whoa, we did it. He's out there, he's gotten grown. I felt like a circle had been completed. I finally got to see someone whose work I greatly admired. With the help of a son we had raised, who had seen to it that Michelle and I were also there. A thank you moment. Well, the details of this particular story are, of course, mine. But I'm guessing, I'm certainly hoping anyway, that each of you have your own version of it in one way or another. You have those times in your life where you felt, yeah, for all the times that life has beaten up on me, this is how it's supposed to work. And it works at its best. Your thank you moment. In my case, I also found that it really wasn't that much of a concern to me who or what it was I was saying thank you to. I was just recognizing my gratitude and how blessed I am by the workings of a cloud of mystery that I only exercise limited control over. Whatever moments of special blessing you may have experienced in the course of your life, and by whatever chain of events they came to you, I have a feeling they were very much needed and even warranted within the larger setting of the sometimes joyful and sometimes trying and challenging, sometimes painful and baffling lives that we lead and carry forth. Well, I just said I didn't care who or what it was that I was specifically thanking when I encountered my thank you moment. Upon further review and reflection, that's not entirely true. The fact that I do not offer a prayer of thanksgiving to a supreme being does not mean that I don't offer prayers of thanksgiving at all, because I do. I take my cue here from some words by the late Reverend Raymond Bond, a UU minister of many years, who once stated, "Giving thanks has nothing to do with who or what produced the gift. It is rather a way of perceiving our life. Even in the midst of hurt and disappointment, when we see ourselves in a universe that gives us life and touches us with love, we praise." With these words, I believe that Ray Bond catches the essence of what a thank you moment is. It is when we see ourselves in a universe that gives us life and touches us with love. At such times, all we can do is offer praise. Indeed, thankfulness is a way of perceiving life and seeing ourselves in the universe that gives us life and touches us with love. This is all I feel I need to know in offering up my own prayers of thanksgiving. Somewhere here, there's page 4. But if not, that's all right. Let me go back to the song. Going back to the song I cited, this is actually the way it's supposed to go. Going back to the song that I cited at the beginning of my thoughts for today, I am also thankful that there are those who are willing to live out and attend to the questions it raises. The words in which Dylan phrased his questions in Blowing in the Wind may be original to him, but the questions themselves are those that have been raised and confronted by persons of faith, persons of hope, for as long as there have been persons of faith and hope. I am thankful that there are those who continue to care about the need for persons to look up see the sky, a sky unclouded by human need and want. I am thankful that there are persons who still work towards and hope for the day when the white dove of peace is finally able to sleep in the sand. I am thankful that there are those who continue to have ears that do indeed hear people cry. I'm thankful that there are those who continue to bear in their hearts the painful truth that too many people have died and who stand for life in the face of death. And included in this, my prayer of thanksgiving on this morning, is also the petition that we may be among such persons, that we may be counted among such persons, and that the answers to such questions as these are not just blowing in the wind, but they're also stirring in our hearts and minds and souls and seeking their answers there. We are continually called. Called by that which is greater than we know and whose name we do not know, to greater levels of wholeness, both within our lives and in the larger life of humanity and nature of which we are a part. It is, I feel, our ability to offer a prayer by the 16th century Dominican mystic Meister Eckhart. He once said, if the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, that will suffice. Eckhart, as I say, was a Dominican priest in the 14th century. The fact that he ran into charges of heresy for saying such things probably meant he was telling the truth. But I think it's our ability to offer that prayer. Again, Eckhart's words, if the only prayer you ever offer in your life is thank you, that would suffice. It is our ability to offer that prayer that gives us the strength and the will to continue on our personal and shared journeys towards greater wholeness for ourselves and for the world in which we live our lives. To say thank you to the whole of life and to live with graciousness and hope in the face of all that would deny that graciousness and hope is to live a life of faith and to be a bearer of life abundant. To say thank you, then, is not to approve of all that you've been given or all that gets visited upon you. Rather, it is to take what life does give us and then, using the will and the resources and the power of the human spirit that we both individually and collectively possess, using all that to become agents of transformation and making a difference. Transformation for ourselves, for those with whom we are in community here, for those in this larger community in which we live, and for the world to which we bring ourselves. We are now in a season whose themes are Thanksgiving, in-gathering, and harvest. In whatever ways we celebrate it, I hope we can each and all use some portion of it for a time of reflection, of discernment, and recommitment, and rededication. Let us reflect upon the content of our lives and of the times in which we live them, as both bountiful and as troubled as these times are. And let us be discerning as to what our yes and what our thank you to life means at those times, at these times, in order that we each play our part, however great or small that part may be, in transforming the times in which we live. On that note, I offer each of you a very happy and blessed Thanksgiving, however you celebrate it, over the next few days. And ask that you join in singing together in number 68. Come to thank the people.